because we still will get into this more, I think, but it's still our responsibility to educate our kids. That doesn't mean that we can't seek help. So for instance, reading the scriptures, whose responsibility is it to educate the kids? It would be hard for you to come away from the scriptures without coming away with, it is the father's responsibility to educate the kids, right? It is dad's responsibility, because almost all the education instructions in the whole Bible, almost every single one of them, are to fathers. Fathers teach your children. Fathers set up these monuments so that when your children ask you, fathers, about what happened here, you can tell them. Or fathers, do not exasperate your children. You know, this one of the reasons children might get exasperated is because they're trying to teach them something, mm-hmm. right? And so, there's definitely this strong assumption that it is the responsibility. It is the authority of the fathers to teach their children. Now, even in the vast majority of home educating families, it is the mother who is going to teach their children. Now that I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying the fact that it's the father's responsibility does not mean that he cannot delegate that responsibility. But ultimately, if my kid does not come up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, it is ultimately my fault. It is ultimately my responsibility if that child is not raised in the Lord's fear and admonition. And there's a certain extent to which I can't even pawn that off on my wife, much less a teacher I hired at the Christian school. Right? So, and to the same extent that the church that we go to, where we learn the scriptures directly, that is ultimately my responsibility. Now, I don't do most of the preaching and teaching at my church, right? Mm-hmm. So that's mostly happening from the pastors and elders of the church, but which are the same thing in my view, by the way.
Right. Anyway, yes.
But
anyway.
It's ultimately my responsibility that my family is learning the Word of God correctly, and that would be the same no matter where you go. So that for us, it was very important then to find yes, a school that was going to teach a Christian worldview that would expect Christianity to permeate the curriculum, which is, by the way, required for the kind of school that this is required by the province of Alberta, that if they are going to set up an alternative program, which is what this is called, if you're going to set up an alternative program, that the purpose of your society that you form the alternative program around cannot be incidental to the education. It must permeate the curriculum. So if your society is a Christian education society, Christian education must permeate all of, and I'm like, this is great. Right? Like, this school is legally required for Christianity to permeate all of the classroom instruction.
Who knew Alberta would be promoting Christian nationalism?
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. But quick side note, like I'm reading a really good book right now that's not in arm reach, but I don't think it is. Nope, that's not it. Reading a really good book right now that is on my microwave in the kitchen. That is about one of the guys who guided us through this debate in this country. We saw the United States Civil War and said, oh, okay. These guys were basically all Protestants, basically all came from the same two islands in the Northern European Sea. They've got all these same demographics. And then they said, we're going to have a one size fits all public school where everyone's going to learn the same things, and therefore we'll all get together, we'll get along so much better. And then you had this giant civil war right before the founding of this country. and they go, so maybe not that. Maybe let's do something else, right? And so the founders of this country started with the idea of Catholic education and Protestant education, and that they would be, and that we wouldn't pretend that you could have secular schooling for sure. We wouldn't pretend that you could have schooling that is neutral between these two major faith groups, but that then every faith group should have its own. And then it was built in from the very beginning that through the same system where enough Catholic families could petition to start their own school division and run a parallel system with tax money, that a Protestant denomination that felt that their needs were not being well enough served by the public schools could do the same thing. So then when in the what's called in this country the silent revolution in the 60s, when religion is stripped out of the public schools, they said, okay, rather than just instantly have 30 separate systems where all these Protestant denominations are going to form their own schools now because we've stripped it out, we'll formalize this into this alternative program system, which is going to give you 100% of the per student funding. You can negotiate with your school board for capital funding and transportation funding and teacher pension funding and whatever else. Hint, hint, negotiate with the school board means you get nothing, but whatever. and you can form an alternative program around whatever you want. It can be around Christianity. It could be around a particular denomination of Christianity. It could be around hockey. It could be around learning a foreign language. It could be around learning French, which is not a foreign language in Canada. you form a society, a charity around the topic that you want. You hold annual general meetings where you can democratically elect the board of that charity. That charity is responsible to make whatever the purpose of the charity is permeate the education at that school. So they're responsible to make sure that the mission of the society is carried out by the school. And the school board will kind of get out of the way and administer the things that are going to be the same at any school, regardless of ideology or purpose, but let the society guide the things that are integral to that purpose. That was the idea. And I think that was brilliant. is not pretending that there can be this neutral public schooling system was a huge, and other provinces have forgotten those lessons and have abandoned those lessons. Most notably Manitoba, which has been a perennial laggard in education ever since. Basically, they fought for years and years and years about getting rid of their separate systems. And then once they did, they have lagged behind the rest of the country basically ever since in education. So it turns out one size fits all doesn't work.
It's interesting too, like the Civil War, you know, yes, it was about slavery. Yes, it was about, a whole number of things. Absolutely. But the centralization of power of sustaining the Union, a one size fits all, or allowing what the founding of this, the United States as in plural, to go about their own way to such an extent where they could remove from the federal delegated powers. They could remove that at any time, because why else would these hotly debated ratification debates not allow for that to come in. Like, no, once you sign on the dotted line, you're forever indentured into federalism. You had, 600,000 people, brothers, cousins, fighting on two sides of the same line to for slavery, anti-slavery, for Union preserving, for Confederacy preserving, and Confederacy also held slaves in the form of having people, sign up for their war too, and freedom from the government, except for when we come in and steal wheat and corn from the fields. But neither side was good in that one. But we saw centralization happen there, and saying, hey, maybe the Confederacy had certain things right, where you could alleviate this type of destruction and having multiple systems in place that were decentralized. And Canada never had fought a civil war to outlaw slavery. They paid off slave freedom and made it illegal after that, if I remember my history somewhat.
Canada qua Canada never had this, but yes, Canada as a part of the British Empire. Yes, that is, yes. That was the British approach. Yeah. No one but the United States fought a war to end slavery, by the way.
Right. amazing how that worked. so we have more responsibility than making sure our kids get to the bus on time and making sure that their homework does. And
I was doing a side note how I got into all this. I was doing a side note from saying, so not only did I want to make sure that Christianity permeated the curriculum, which is the policy term for exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. the government's own words for exactly what I wanted. But the other big requirement that I was looking for was make sure that I could talk to my kids' teachers, that they were highly respectful of my authority to guide my own child's education, and that they would show a lot of deference there. And to me, that was kind of the threshold that the minimum viable product that a school outside the home needed to provide for me to be comfortable that my duty to educate my children was being well delegated there. I do want to say that I've made the one analogy about church, and it's like, you've got a really good question for if there's some sketchy stuff coming from the pulpit at your church, when do you pull your family out? And good Christians can disagree about the threshold where you lead. Like, I feel very strongly that you don't leave a church without exhausting all other possibilities.
And talk to your pastors and elders.
Yes.
Don't just leave. Yeah,
you absolutely will. And so in our church, we have a covenant that you agree to join, saying that if you leave, you're going to, as soon as possible, join yourself to a like-minded fellowship and let us know about it, because we are responsible to care for your soul. Mm-hmm. as a member of this church. And so, it's never done lightly. But obviously, yeah, there's a certain line where if the preaching from the pulpit is off, you have to leave. And good Christians can disagree about where that line is, but we can't disagree about whether there's a line. Right. And I would make a similar analogy to education. I wanted to make one other one is, also, as the father and leader of my home, it is also my responsibility to defend my family, to protect my family. Mm-hmm. And I know, especially in our anarcho-libertarian world, there are lots of people who would say that that is a non-delegable responsibility, that I defend my own family with as much firepower as I can possibly amass. and that is my responsibility to do. And I'm not going to delegate it to a cop. I'm not going to delegate it to a neighborhood watch. I'm not going to delegate it to an alarm, to a security company, or to a dog, right? Like, and I can totally respect that position. I do not think that I do not think that it is, that it would be right for Christians to get super dogmatic about, and therefore every Christian must hold the exact same view about how to protect and defend your family there, right? It's, that it is, that I can totally follow the logic. I'm responsible for defending my family. I can't trust anybody else ultimately with that responsibility. Even if it were delegable, it's ultimately it's my fault if something goes wrong. It's my responsibility. I can't abdicate responsibility, even if I can delegate the execution. So ultimately I'm going to take that upon myself directly. And I can't argue with that logic. It's nevertheless, we can see how it would be unhealthy to say, and therefore to go to this church, you must believe that you spend everything left over after clothes, food, electricity, and housing, you spend everything left over on ammunition. And that's that you're amassing the largest stockpile of weapons you can to defend your family. Like, we don't, there isn't a church. I don't think there's a church that does that. I bring this up only because there are some churches that get pretty close to that on home education.
Oh, sure.
And I think that's unhealthy, even though, again, 100% see the logic. Thought it myself, thought all my kids are going to be home educated. And I would have said this, by the way, before I broke on that and didn't home educate one of my children. Like, this, I already held this conviction. It's one of the reasons we live in Alberta, right? You can home educate anywhere, but we knew we didn't know enough to know what we don't know, and that we might, home education didn't always work for me. Home education wasn't always the correct fit for my wife. We were both home educated some. Neither of us were home educated all the way through, because there were points in our lives where it wasn't the right fit. So we knew enough to know what we didn't know, and to say we need to live in a place that is flexible enough that we'll be able to find what will fit for our child. And that was clearly, for among the options that we had, that was clearly Alberta.